Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. If you just tuned in, if you've been listening already, thank you for that too. And I will give you a nice little present, because that means if you're still listening, if you've been listening and you still listen, that either means that you are a highly intelligent person, or I'll get this in ahead of Joan Pride, who's about to join us now. It also could mean that you don't have a life. Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, welcome back.
Hello there, Jim. I'm not commenting beyond that.
Yeah, but I know what you're thinking.
You knew what I was thinking.
I know you well. I sure do. I've been around you long enough to know which direction, so I always try to head you off whenever I can.
That's a wise move.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, almost.
Let's have a good one. What do you think?
We're getting there. I'd be thrilled to do that.
You've almost got a 7th anniversary coming up, you know?
Really?
You and I have.
That's amazing.
How long have you and Ray been married?
11 years. It'll be 12 next June.
So
he doesn't beat you out by much.
I know. And it didn't cost me anything either, did it?
I tell you, it cost him plenty.
I told you about the bachelor tax they had in Missouri, didn't I?
No.
Yeah. About a week or so ago, I announced that in about 1820, I think it was Missouri, had a bachelor tax. And so any man between the ages of 18 and 50, I think, who wasn't married had to pay $1 a year.
Well, I like that.
In tax.
Wow.
So I'm thinking, okay, the guy's standing there, and he's saying, wait a minute. He's looking at his two hands held out, and he's saying, okay, marriage or a dollar? Marriage or a dollar? Let me see. What
well,
do
now it
I
might
do?
Be marriage or $100 or something.
If when you put it in economic terms,
yeah.
You know, if you make a guy put getting married into economic terms, you don't like the way this is going, do you?
Not one bit.
Joan, one of the cool things about Kiplinger are the
one of the many.
They're one of the many. That's right. They're a boatload of cool things about Kiplinger. You guys put out some really good periodic special editions.
We try, yeah.
And because I'm a happy subscriber, I find them in the mail.
Get these things in the mail. Yeah, like a little extra Christmas
present. Yeah, just like a little something extra in your paycheck at the end of the
week.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
And this one, the most recent one, is called The Energy Outlook.
That's right.
Now, Joan, I don't know if people get tired of talking about this, but I'll tell you what. If you're a small business owner, if you're trying to make your living in this global marketplace, if you're not aware of the dynamics of the energy element in the marketplace, then basically, in my opinion, it's like, you know, not knowing what kind of information the controls of your motor, the gauges of the motor of your car are telling you. If you don't know when things are heating up or when your battery is low or whatever, if you're not keeping up with energy, and because, Joan, it's not just the gas in your tank. Petroleum, especially fossil fuels, is basically the oxygen of the marketplace, isn't it?
Oh, no question about it.
And so one of the things I like about what you did this last week was to produce this special letter, which is called Energy Outlook. And it's an incredible tour de force, Joe. It's really, really well done. And so I congratulate you on that, and you and all your other smart people up there at Kiplinger. And
thank you. I wish I could take even the littlest bit of credit for it, but I can't.
Well, you have to take a little credit. I mean, you're part of that organization. But
sure.
here's one that will jolt you out of your bagel here, folks. The average price for oil in 2025. That's only 20 years from now, folks. And Joan, as I get older, those 20 years go by real quick. The average price for oil in 2025 could reach $180 a barrel. What is it now, about 61 or 2?
Right, but to be fair, we say about 90 a barrel in current dollars.
But still, Joan, that's...
But I think we have to talk it in term and talk about it in terms of 90.
That's a 50% increase.
Yeah, I know. It's tremendous.
So instead of $2.25 gallon gas, let's say as it is right now, was it around 2.25 or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
Instead of that, we're looking at maybe would that be five bucks or so, $5.50 or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
I don't want to get all mathy on you, but
like
anyway,
that.
It's a number that I don't even want to calculate because it's so shocking.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm setting it up that way, Joan, just so we can talk about some of the other things that.
Well, I was hoping we could talk about some of the good news too.
Well, before we do though, let's go back and talk about why we're here. One of the things that you guys point out is that in the 1990s, most oil giants began depleting their reserves much faster than they found new oil.
Right.
Now, why do you think that is? Is there any particular reason why that happened?
Well, I'm guessing oil prices were so low.
I'm going to let you think about it. That was part of it. Remember, we talked about this back in the late 90s, about the oil prices were so low. Why go after it? It wasn't worth it. Too expensive. Quick break. Right back with Joan Pride. We're going to talk about some more things, like some alternative fuels and what you and I should be doing about that. On the other side of these messages, it's 2012. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm glad you're here. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're talking about the most recent special edition of the Kiplinger Letter, the Energy Outlook. And Joan, let's talk about these reserves. In the top right side of page one there, you guys say that the world won't run out of gas or out of oil and natural gas because we apparently have a lot of it in the ground.
Well, good. We're finally getting to the good news part of this. And you've probably heard those stories. There's someone out there, and I forget the man's name, who's posited this whole theory that we've pretty much reached the peak and we're going to be on the downside in terms of oil supplies.
Mm-hmm.
But we're saying that there's an estimated 2.3 trillion barrels of oil, and this I don't even understand, 13.6 quadrillion cubic feet of gas in the ground. I don't even know what a quadrillion is.
I think we could, can't we just say a bunch?
Oh, okay.
Maybe two bunches.
But see, the only thing about all that is that it is going to run out in maybe, 100 years or so.
What do you say, 80 to 140?
80 to 100 years. So, I mean, anybody born now is going to be in trouble.
Well, exactly. And so, in other words, when you read that, that's good news and bad news, isn't it? Because the good news is we do have a lot of stuff in the ground that we can use.
Right, but if you don't care about the next generation, you're fine.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing. Yeah, exactly, Joan. And what we have to remember is, Joan, is the every day that we move, every year that we move into that projection, that doesn't mean that the last, the 80th year, if let's say there is 80 years left, that doesn't mean that the 80th year is going to be as good as next year is going to
be. Right, that's a good
point. It's
going to
be in the downslide.
Yeah. Right.
But the other thing is, Joan, here's the thing I'd like to point out to people. I think this is a wake-up call for all of us, I think. Look at how our society, look at how the marketplace is structured around a barrel of oil. You heard me call it the oxygen of the marketplace. I believe
right.
that with all my heart. What if a human being had to learn how to exist. We had to figure out a way to exist without breathing oxygen somehow. We came up with gills or something. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I know that's preposterous. I know that's silly. But the point is how long? If somebody right now said, okay, you guys, you got 100 years to come up with a way to sustain yourself without breathing oxygen. We would say, wow, that's not enough time.
Right.
But it's the same thing in the marketplace. You Kiplinger is saying we have 100 years maybe to come up with another way to something to replace fossil fuels. We can't sit around and act like we got lots of time, can we?
Oh, right. Exactly.
Look at hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
The hydrogen stuff that you guys have talked a lot about in your letters before. If we had hydrogen fuel, don't those have to be replenished?
Oh, gosh. You know more about this than I do.
I think they do. So where's where's the hydrogen service station?
Oh.
You know? And if you got batteries, they don't go very far. Where can you plug up a car for a fast, quick charge of your battery?
Oh, right.
See, I mean, it's this, the whole society, the whole marketplace. We're geared around gas.
Yeah, we are.
And so, and as we get into your letter here, Joan, over on page 2, you guys talk about a two-pronged energy strategy, fuel cells and hydrogen. And that's it's pretty interesting. The we've actually interviewed some people who are working on the hydrogen engine, Joan. And,
wow.
And those people are. But you know what, Joan? I haven't heard a lot about that lately.
I haven't heard a thing. Well, you're hearing it here, you see. Mm-hmm. Well, not the hydrogen engine, but you're hearing about hydrogen.
But you're not hearing a lot about people saying, you know, we're however many years away from producing this.
Right.
There is more of a push for electric cars, though, isn't there, these days?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and that technology is increasing and getting, I guess, refined.
But remember, Joan, when there was a push before, and then there was almost no electric cars available? And why did that happen? Because of what you said a while ago, oil prices went down.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and we said, wait a minute, you know, oil prices are down. We don't have to have electric cars.
Yeah.
It's in our head, isn't it, Joan, as much as anything?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
What about nuclear power? Is that going to be in our future?
We're saying it's going to expand, and electric utilities are going to use it so they can use less natural gas.
The last thing in the world I would want to do, because it actually disgusts me to say this, Joan, but France is ahead of us on nuclear.
Uh-oh.
I want to cut off a finger or something for having said that.
How could you say that?
I know, but they're ahead of us. They've actually used nuclear to their advantage, haven't they?
And the French?
The French, yeah. They've used it. They're using it now. And you know what, Joan? The U.S. has nuclear. We have plenty of nuclear plants that are working just fine. The problem is we're not building new ones.
Oh, see? Yeah.
And the ones that we have are 25 years old. Or
wow.
older, maybe.
Well, they're going to have to do something about that.
Well, because coal and hydropower can't produce all the electricity that we need.
Oh,
we don't
right.
want to keep burning dirty
right.
coal.
Yeah.
We've got maybe, you guys point out, we've got 250 years of coal reserves in this report.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just like the oil. I mean, at what point do you collapse mountains because you've been digging oil out from under them?
Right.
You're digging coal out from
under. Could this news get any worse?
Well, you know what, Joan? You know me, I like to be upbeat and positive, but I don't feel that way about this. I think we all ought to be shocked out of our skins a little bit on what's going on. This is,
yeah.
And you know, I'm not a greenie, Joan. You know, I know. This is serious stuff. I'm concerned about small business owners' budgets is what I'm concerned about. Tint Hill, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Don't let the sun catch you cry.
Little Jerry and the Pacemakers, ladies and gentlemen.
The night's the time.
Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm your host. Joan, the Kiplinger website is kiplinger.com, and I encourage people to check it out. And all the publications, the Kiplinger Letter. Folks, I like telling you about these folks because they don't pay me a penny to say this. I just like what they do, as you can tell, because I feature them as often as I can. They really do a good job of helping people like you and me to see what's coming at us. And I, you know, John, I quote you guys all the time. I mean, there's not almost a week that goes by that I don't quote something that I learned from the Kiplinger Letters that I think is important to pass along. And of course, that's the weekly letters, the one that I get and that Joan and I talk about every week. And then there are three other letters, too, aren't there, Joan?
That's right.
The biweeklies.
Right, the Kiplinger tax letter, which I work for, and there's also the Kiplinger California letter and the Kiplinger Agriculture letter.
Absolutely. And then, of course, there's the magazine, the Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
Correct.
And you can subscribe at the website, kiplinger.com, but you probably got a phone number too, don't you, Joe?
Right. Our phone number is 800-544-0155.
Folks, I hope if you've never seen it, try the 30-day free trial. Go ahead and sign up. And look at it for 30 days, see what you think, and if you don't like it, give it back to them. They won't charge you for it. 30-day free trial. I worked hard for that, Joan, and so I want people to take advantage of that. Okay, Joan. We're talking about the report, the energy report that Kiplinger published recently. Wind is an interesting thing that's going on across the country right now. Wind power, the windmills. Mm-hmm. Have you been keeping up with this?
No, I have not.
Have you been out west? Have you been around? Have you seen any of the windmills along the Appalachian skyline? Any of that stuff?
Only pictures.
Yeah, well, it's happening, and it's a big controversy because obviously they need to be where the wind is, right?
True. Right.
And which typically is high up on top of the ridges, where we got these beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains, and you got all these beautiful mountains out west, and they're putting windmills out there.
Okay.
But where they encroach on society, on civilization, people who don't want their view spoiled don't want the windmills.
Ooh.
And so it's very interesting as you meet people, and Joan, if you'd get outside the Beltway, you'd meet these people. You ought to drive around with real people and see those people in Washington. And whenever I travel around out there, out into Flyover America. Mm-hmm. I hear lots of controversy about the windmills.
No kidding.
It's pretty clean energy source, but it takes a lot of windmill to make a little bit of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys say that domestic electricity, what's it going to be in 20 years? It's going to be 10% with solar and wind.
The share of wind and solar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're saying. 10% in 2025, 15% in 2050. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a heck of a lot more than now, which we're saying is 1%.
Mm-hmm. Well, and solar is not, I don't know how you do solar on a large, utility type of thing. I don't know how you do that. I've never actually heard of that. Have you, any utility using solar?
That, no. I always think of that as like residences with solar panels in them.
Exactly. But you know what? With Joan, we're all going to have to build our houses that have windows facing the southwest. You know what I mean? So that the winter sun sets as it crosses the sky, it throws a lot of heat into your house. I think we all have to be paying more attention to that. Joan, I think the 21st century is dawning on us, where I don't care whether you're a tree hugger or not. I don't care whether you have never cared. I don't care if you've got so much money you don't care what gasoline prices. I think everybody on the planet is going to have to start being more conscious of other ways to propel ourselves around and propel our machines. What do you think?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Of course, you're a little bit of a greenie yourself, aren't you, Joan?
Just a little.
Yeah. Maybe a little more than a little bit.
I guess it all depends on your perspective.
I mean, you don't have a Sierra Club card in your purse, I don't think.
No, but I'm just too cheap to belong.
That's only because you're too cheap.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Oh gosh, that was quick.
Yeah, and thanks
that
for the
went too quick.
Thanks for the report. And can they get this at the website, Joan? Can they get their energy report on the website?
I think it's on the past protected section, but if they go for that 30-day free trial, they certainly can.
If you do that, folks, you can get this, and I recommend you do it. It's in very well written in layman's terms. Thanks, Joan, for being here. Happy New Year. We'll see you next time.
Happy New Year to you, Jim.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.